I think it was started. Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Amy G and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. Today's date is Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 100. Reading the first paragraph, both you and your new man, through that one paragraph, ending in no matter what the circumstances, commenting that one paragraph only. Today's readers are, and thank you to Team Tuesday for the month of May, Lynn F., Craig F., Alana P., Joni C. on the 12 steps, Michelle J. on the tradition, our newcomer greeter, Colleen M., and our host, Christine G., for the second unrecorded, awesome unrecorded hour. And let's see, the reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, May 26th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 22,465. That's 22465. And for 10 a.m., 22,466. That's 22466. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask for Joni C. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Joni.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge, for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joni C. I will now ask for Michelle J. to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Morning, Michelle Gray from Texas. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous must remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thank you so much, Michelle J. Okie dokie, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. If you go over, you'll hear me say time. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only, please. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. Again, this meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 100, the first paragraph, and I'm going to ask Lynn F. to get us started. Please go ahead, Lynn. Can't wait.
Good morning, Amy, and good morning, fellows. This is Lynn F., recovered in Pennsylvania. Both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Follow the dictates of a higher power, and you will presently live in a new and wonderful world, no matter what your present circumstances. This paragraph is just so beautiful to me, and each line to me is worthy of a discussion. The first thing that really stands out, walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress, that for me is living in 10, 11, and 12, and practicing 10, 11, and 12 with a fierce determination to stay close to God. I am spiritually unwell every morning when I wake up, and I can get off beam all day long, and staying close to God is my deepest desire, and also one of my one of my areas that I struggle with, and I know that that's my path. And when I do that, I can see that I can experience God. I can see how I can be of service. The next thing that jumps out to me, we realize the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. This is just also another beautiful line. My plans and designs need to be smashed, and I just need to relax in God's hands. And it talks about you and the new man. I need to walk with people who are doing the work. I need to walk with people who are willing. As far as sponsorship, I can hold the door open for anyone willing to do the work. And I do that with God and with loving direction and support of fellows. This program is just saving my life one day at a time. The promise that you will presently live in a new and wonderful world is true, no matter what my present circumstances. And I'll also add, no matter who the players are. I came in here a few years ago, and the players are all the same. And I'm able to stay abstinent. I am able to live a life worth living today through the grace of God, through one day at a time, walking and trudging with each of you. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you. So, Lynn F., for getting us started. And just a quick reminder, although we value your experience, strength, and hope, if you've shared in the last couple of days, namely Monday or Friday, we ask that you step aside and allow others to share the air, so to speak, share their experience, strength, and hope as well. So who would like to share on what was read? Please give me your name,
Melissa C.,
your last
Harlan G.,
Rachel K., Rachel K.,
Mary K.,
Rick J.,
Christina J., Harry F.,
Rick K., hold on a sec.
Carolina
J. Okay, here's what I got, and this is all I got so far. Just a sec. I've got Melissa C., Harlan G., Larry K., Christina J. Please tell me who I missed in the first group.
Rivka
Rick
R.
J.
Carolina F. Carolina F.
Rivka A.
Rachel K.
Rachel K.
Lulu L.
Lulu
Rick
L.
J.
Rick J., sorry, here we go, Rick. I thought I heard you. Okay.
Carolyn F.
Who F?
Carolyn.
Carolyn.
Yes,
Carolyn,
thank you.
F. Okay. I think we're going to hold there, folks. Okay, so I've got Melissa C., Harlan G., Larry K., Christina J., Rivka R., Rachel K., Lulu L., Rick J., Carolyn F. All righty, let's get started. Melissa C., you are up. Please go ahead.
Hey, thank you so much, Amy, for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York, and this is probably one of my favorite paragraphs. I think I say that all the time, but this one really is. And I love, I love how before this, the paragraphs before kept stressing how my recovery is going to it's going to depend on God and not on others. And yet this paragraph, and I'm glad that the opening share did mention this, that this paragraph starts off with both you and the new man. And for me, I'm so grateful that God gave me others to practice this program with that walk alongside me on this path of spiritual progress. And actually the chapter of working with others begins with the direction, like a must, in fact, to see a fellowship grow up about you. And, it says to have a host of friends. It's an experience you must not miss. And, so for me, my sponsees and my fellows, you guys on the line, you've become my friends who, you've walked alongside me on this path of spiritual progress. Like, I've been doing this, you know, for me, you know, I've been in amongst you guys for 11 and a half years, and I have walked through some pretty wonky stuff, you know, including the recent passing of my mom and her, you know, her dementia. And what happens is, like, I follow the dictates of God and I trust him because I have the encouragement, you know, and the support of all of you. And, you know, and so in my step three, I put myself in God's hands. I said that I'm going to be his agent. And basically that meant that I was going to do what I believe God would want me to do and surrender the results. And what happens is when I live that way, my life just works better. That even in the midst of, like, the most difficult circumstances that others around me would say, oh my gosh, you know, this is the hardest time. All true. It's like we live above our circumstances. It's a crazy thing. Like, the passing of my mom, as she was having dementia, were, yes, extremely painful, but they were also on some other level some of the happiest moments of my life because I was living in connection with my Creator. And so, you know, and so here I am today, right, on a beautiful, you know, day off. And what I get, even first thing this morning, is friends who send me meditations, friends who send me, like, things that are going on. And, you know, and that we get to walk together on this path and live in this new and wonderful world. And with that, I'm so grateful, and I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Melissa C. from New York. Okay, Harlan G., you're up, followed by Larry K.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you very much. I'm Harlan G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in Scottsdale, Arizona. On page 14 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, the very last paragraph is Ebby, when he says, my friend had emphasized, Ebby is telling Bill the absolute necessity of demonstrating these principles in all my affairs. Particularly was it imperative to work with others as he had worked with me. And the paragraph is really one of the things that we see that we must pass this to other people. I am by my nature a taker. I am by my nature, gimme, 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 and I want. And I learned in this program, thank God, that in giving, I get so much more than I ever could have bargained for. These are the 12-step promises. These are the promises of step 12. And the step 12 promises go back to the ancient teachings. In the religion of my childhood, there's three things that we're called upon to do among the 613. We're called upon to study the Word of God, we're called upon to pray, and we're called upon to do acts of kindness. What is kinder than to show a person the way that you recovered from this monster, terrorist, murderer of a disease? If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Every person that I have sponsored has helped me recover. They are my teachers. They are the people who teach me who I am. See, when I first came in here, it was don't eat and go to meetings, don't eat and go to meetings. How much do you weigh? I don't know. What do you have for a snack? I don't know. What do you eat for lunch? And then when you get past that, I started to learn what a selfish, scared to death, dishonest, angry, self-seeking person that I am. And each person that I encounter, whether they recover or not, is my professor. Because by uncovering, discovering, and discarding their defects, or watching them do it, I don't do it, sorry, by watching them do it, I learn who I am, and I have an awareness of things that I never could have had before. And I grow in the two relationships that are permanent in my life. And the only two relationships that are permanent in my life are the one I have with God and the one I have with myself. and I like myself today because I give of myself today. And I give of myself today to sponsees with absolutely no expectation of return. I've had a tough year. I got broken up with. I thought this person would be the love of my life. Turned out she had other, and I mean as in capital other plans. And one of my very best friends died on March 15th. He went to sleep. He never woke up. But in that, I have not picked up food. And the reason that I have not picked up food is because of the actions that I take to help others and the grace of God that watches over me. This is the greatest way of life possible. There's no way of life greater than this. Amy, thank you very much for your service this morning. Thank you to Team Tuesday, and thank you for your service not just today, but during the month of May. So with that, I will pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Harlan G. from Scottsdale, Arizona. Okay, Larry K., you are up. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate your service. I'm Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. But you and the man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. See, I believe that every instrument for spiritual development has a purpose, and conversely, a place where it's of no help whatsoever. In other words, nothing is a cure for all of our humanness. And you know, I know, for example, that vitamins are not going to cure loneliness. But in other less obvious ways, you know, we think that one pursuit will give us what we want in every area of life. We think that these practices should afford us freedom from the messiness of life, as though perfection is some sort of attainable standard. And you know, we sometimes can especially feel this way about spirituality and walking with the other man and woman, because we're looking to access higher realms of consciousness and transcendence, right? And if you've found a way to transcend the human condition, well, my hat is off to you. But for the rest of us, we continue to wrestle at times with spiritual growing pains, you know. And I'm spreading the news about spiritual bypass as a reminder that we're not supposed to rise above it all. You know, spiritual bypass is just this idea of the shorthand, if you will, is grasping rather than gratitude, arriving rather than being, you know, somehow avoiding rather than accepting. You know, I can't outrun my own feet. I can't outthink my own brain. I can't, and in the same way, I can't override this human operating system that I live and breathe every hour of every day to free myself. But the beauty for me today is that I get to simply walk with another along the pathway of spiritual progress. Now, that's pretty cool. I get the privilege of illuminating a spiritual pathway for another, just as you've done for me. And that's an amazing miracle that we get to do that. We still live in an age of miracles. You know, and an example of a miracle taking place is when people who naturally are distant from one another, you know, family, other people who reject, oppose each other, might even have some hatred towards each other, and they rise above their differences, and despite how they feel and how they might treat each other, they choose to connect. There's a miracle in this. This is no easy process. It's a struggle against our egoistic nature. But we make an effort. We draw the positive God force, I'll call it, of connection that dwells in our nature and helps us make that ascent. And I'll this. The best way to find yourself is to lose yourself in the service of others. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Amy.
Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Larry K. from Chicago, Illinois. Okay, Christina J. followed by Rivka. Christina, please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Christina J. in North Carolina. You know, when I came in listening to Vision for the first time, and they were on a paragraph that it talked about the sunlight of the spirit. And oh, my soul at that moment ached for that. That was my problem. I needed that sunlight of the spirit. Even though I had God and I had moments, I didn't live that on a daily basis. I lived in dark depression and in between dieting and struggling and wondering what was wrong with me and being ashamed and guilty and all that kind of stuff, as we all know. And then I heard this sentence, I'm going to have a life beyond my wildest dreams. And of course, I imagined being famous, you know, singing to the world and bringing my gifts and everyone loving me. And today I have a life beyond my wildest dreams that consists of peace. Peace. And talked about you can live in this new wonderful world no matter what your present circumstances. The paragraph says that as well. And I lost my mom as well earlier this year. And no matter what my present circumstances, within that, I found another wonderful, wildest dreams that I had peace and I had kindness for my mother that I hadn't had in years and years. I was working on it for the last few years, but I found a kindness that has opened up my heart to the gifts of her within me. And I wouldn't have been able to do that had I been on the food. I didn't want the food at all. I wanted my mother to have a peaceful passing, and how could I not be present for that? So what we do for me is when I'm working with people, no matter if it's a sick mom or a person in program, whoever it is, I'm tapping into something I never knew I had that talks about in the big book, the unsuspecting resource. How do you even get to that as a newcomer? You do this day by day. You just do it. We have stumbling blocks. I have been in program since 2014 in this particular vision group, and it has taken me all these years to really understand this paragraph in the depths of my heart. My heart aches as I talk about this because I know this place now. I live in this new wonderful world within myself. Sure, I have struggles. I have, you know, I have hurdles along the road. I have people that irritate me, all that kind of stuff. But I have this program to help me get back to that life beyond my wildest dreams where I can sit in meditation and do that daily. Because as it says here, if you persist, remarkable things will happen. In all the things this book talks about, and taking the steps, and working with people, and doing your 10ths, my 11ths have become wonderful, wonderful revelations. My meditation is taking me deeper and deeper into a place of silence and peace within my heart. And boy, isn't that a place to be instead of my wild, crazy, insane monkey mind jumping all over the place, wanting this, wanting that, wanting to be scared of this and that and the other thing. I have tools, and I have steps, and I have fellows in program that hold my hand, right. And I hold it. And I'm telling you, if you're out there and you don't have this yet, please keep coming back because it works. Stay with it. Love you all. Bye.
Thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. And Rivka, before we go, just a friendly reminder, if you came in a little late, we are on page 100, the first paragraph, both you and your new man, through that one paragraph ending in no matter what the circumstances. So. I wanted to let folks know. Okay, Rivka, you're up, followed by Rachel K.
Thanks so much, Amy, for your service and for all the incredible shares this morning and all the time. It's Rivka R., a gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Baltimore, Maryland. Yeah, I love the directive. We must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. You know, that means I'm not going to be perfect with this, but, you know, as a human being, if I persist in allowing a new reality of wanting a relationship with God and trusting God and doing the work to clear the obstacles to that relationship that my ego set up, like, then remarkable things will happen, and much better than I could have ever planned. You know, for me, that really has been clearing old beliefs that things had to look a certain way for me to be grateful for what I have. Like, I could never be grateful for my body because it didn't look a certain way. And I couldn't be grateful for the money God provided me because it was never enough. And, you know, in no area was this character defect of ungratefulness more apparent than with my husband, because I had this belief that I had married the wrong person and I could never love him. You know, I tried being, you know, a good wife and respectful. I didn't scream and yell, but I was so blind. I couldn't see how my beliefs, which were all based in self, my control and shutting down when I was upset and defensiveness, were so disrespectful and totally blocking me from the relationship that I always wanted. And then a remarkable thing happened. After 36 years of marriage, I had, I could call it a husband awakening. And I remember the moment I let God into my marriage. It was almost like the minstrel's son, like when it said, like a thunderbolt, the great thought came, who are you to say there is no God? I was standing in my living room after 36 years of marriage, and a stunning thought came. What if I didn't marry the wrong person? What if my marriage is not a mistake? What if God has designed this marriage and my husband perfectly for me as a gift? And literally, I felt like when Bill W. said, you know, scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes and a new world came into view. Like, you know, a new husband came into view. You know, he doesn't have to be a certain way for me to be, you know, grateful for him and to value him and to accept him. You know, in 2 weeks, God willing, we'll be married 44 years. And it's better than anything I could have planned. You know, we have a love and a joy and an emotional safety now that I'm not taking everything personally. You know, that is a new and wonderful world. And, you know, even going through some pretty big life challenges, it doesn't shake our connection because I can focus on the blessings now. I can receive those blessings, and that's the biggest blessing. You know, we all have different circumstances in this physical world. Some have more money, some have more family, but we all have the greatest gift, and that's that we can have a relationship with our Creator today. You know, relationship with true reality and true love and true power. And for that, I am so grateful. And I give, and I really, it's really because of these 12 steps and working this program that's allowed that new reality to be effective in my life. So, and thanks so much for letting me share it, and I pass.
So much, Rivka R. from Baltimore, Maryland. Okay, Rachel K., followed by Lulu L. Please go ahead, Rachel.
Oh, thank you so much. Hi, this is Rachel K., compulsive overeater recovered in Indiana. And I honestly do not think that there is anything I can say now after listening to these fantastic shares that can add to this. I am just like blown away. I'm blown away. But since I have been given 3 minutes, I will give it a shot. So I love the part in this. There's, you know, each sentence we could do, I feel like, an hour on. Because it says, in the path of spiritual progress, this is the second time, maybe there's more, you can text me if there's more, where it talks about we claim spiritual progress. It doesn't say both you and the new man must arrive in the place of spiritual perfection. And, the you know, this is, I see motion in this. We are walking in the path day by day. This is about, you know, I mean, to be really cliche, it's about the journey. It's not about the destination. We're walking, we're progressing. You know, action is the key in this program for me. You know, if I sit and I ponder, you know, my life, my belly button, whatever, that's when I get into trouble, if I overthink things. I'm walking in the path of spiritual progress. This is a continuous plan of action. And then it talks about, you know, here are those 12-step promises that Harlan was talking about. We realize the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. You know, my plans look a certain way. And, you know, God obviously has other plans. And if I open myself up and say, okay, you know, maybe my plan, it's a good plan, you know, granted, if this person would act this way or if I end up with that person or whatever, but maybe God has another plan, and God always has my best interest at heart. It may not always feel great at the time, but God always has my best interest at heart. And then the last one, it says, follow the dictates of a higher power. And I noticed that these, you know, in the big book, these are all suggestions, right? The 12 steps are suggestions, even though they're the kind of suggestion, like if you jump out of a plane, we suggest you use your parachute. But they're just suggestions, but this is dictates of a higher power. So it's not like God is suggesting, Rachel, you know, you really should do it this way. It's dictates. So to the best of my ability, back in step 3, I committed to follow the dictates of my higher power. You know, am I always perfect at it? Far from it. But it says if I follow these orders, which is good because, you know, when I try to figure out what I'm supposed to do myself, it doesn't really turn out well. But if I just follow the orders, follow my master, my father, my loving parents' orders, then I will live in a new and wonderful world no matter what my present circumstances. So this gives me hope, no matter what pain. Oh, thank you. I'm going through now. I have hope for the future. So anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel K. from Indiana. Okay, Lulu, followed by Rick J. Please go ahead, Lulu.
Good morning. This is Lulu L. from Florida. Thank you, Amy, for your service and for guiding us through this meeting. And just like the previous share, what in the world can I possibly say that would be more meaningful than what's already been said? But I'll just throw in a couple cents for what they're worth. So I am coming back from a relapse. And so I am recovered for this moment right here today. And the reason, who knows what all the reasons are, that I have the disease of compulsive overeating, but I also had not strayed away from God so much as abandoned my deep yearning for God. God was like, yeah, always there, always present, but I wasn't always present. God doesn't go anywhere. I'm the one who moves. And so now I'm working on unclogging the pipes. I'm working on unblocking myself. I've decided that I want to be changed at depth, into my cells, into the very marrow of my bones. I want judgment and selfishness and disregard for others to, at least for today, be eradicated from my to-do list. I'm just so thrilled to be back. It's a long time since I've shared on this meeting, but to be back and listen deeply to what everyone is sharing, because we each have a voice and we each have a connection to our higher power, whatever we might call that. And we can, and I am today, living in a new and wonderful world. My circumstances are the same as everyone's circumstances. They're varied. Some days are fabulous, some months are fabulous, and some are not. But my source, my God, is always surrounding me with love and protection. And so if I can seek that with deep yearning, then I am okay. In fact, I'm beyond okay. I am magnificent. And I want to spread that vibration of love and magnificence throughout the world, throughout our fellowship. Everywhere I go, I want to emanate love and joy and magnificence, because I believe I am a magnificent being, a profoundly loved child of my Creator. And so thank you, thank you, thank you for all of you who have shared such beautiful shares this morning. Many blessings, and I pass.
Lulu, from Lulu L. from Florida. We have Rick J., Carolyn F.,
a quick announcement, and then we'll take some more names. So please go ahead, Rick.
Oh, hi, this is Rick J. Am I up now?
You are.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much for your service, Amy, and thanks to everyone who's been sharing this morning. I've gotten so much out of it. Wow. You know, for me, you know, the promises that we see throughout this book are descriptions of spiritual transformation. And for me, these promises, these transformations which occur when we are we were working with someone else, if the promises were, you know, a fireworks show, then these would be the grand finale. And if I transpose the word connection with progress, both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual connection. That, for me, is what this program is all about. You know, when I first came in, you know, it was about acceptance and surrender. I was just talking with a fellow recently, and, you know, for me, it's once I've accepted and surrendered, then as I go forward, really, for me, when I boil down steps 10, 11, and 12, which I live in today, they're all about release and about connection. I release the things that block me from the power that transforms me, and I connect to that power and people in my life. And the people in my life now include sponsees and sponsors and family and friends. And when I am living in 10 and 11 and continuing to release the things that block me and strengthen the connection to my higher power, I'm doing this on a daily basis. So I am on a path of spiritual progress. When I connect with someone else who is on the same journey and who we are connected with, you know, through our experience and this mutual trust, and that person is, you know, spiritually progressing and strengthening their relationship with the God of their understanding, and we are connected together, then there's this magical third element. It's like the old saying, you know, the spiritual math, 1 + 1 = 3. When two people are together, God is always there. And that presence of the God of my understanding being with the person that I am working with, that I am connected to, and the same for that person, it creates this spiritual atmosphere that's unlike anything else. And the light that I was shining for someone else, they are actually shining their light for me as well. And that's a beautiful thing. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Rick J. Okay, Carolyn S., you're up. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, a recovered compulsive overeater. As somebody has mentioned, actually most of us at some point, there's so much in here that I find every time I go on. And it's just the gift that keeps on giving, the big book. So a couple of things struck me. One of them was we must walk day by day. And it's because you know, that's how we face life. I mean, I can think about life tomorrow or think about life yesterday, but at this moment, I am making choices, whether I realize it or not. You know, I'm going on a walk or I'm not going on a walk. I'm making a choice, and I'm doing my best to lean toward what my higher power would want for me. So even if I'm feeling kind of tired, which I am this morning, I'm going to go for a walk as a service to me, to God, and my daughter, who will often join me. So one day at a time. I had heard that expression for years before I even knew it came from, I don't know if it does, but, you know, in the big book. I'm not sure if that was original, but it's such a big deal in this book. The other thing is the expression, in God's hands. I don't remember exactly where it was, and I'm going to look in the 164 and more, but that little phrase occurs throughout the big book and over again, in God's hands, which, you know, is surrender, basically. Don't assume that I know better than God, because I'm going to be wrong every time. So when I think of in God's hands, you know, I think of, you know, literally like sitting in that warmth and embrace, you know, and feeling what I'm meant to feel, like feeling the movement inside me of a spirit that's developing, that was asleep for so many years, that's finally being roused and making my life better. Thank you, God. And it's like with Play-Doh, right? I can form it into different shapes. And even more so, like carving marble, you know, some of the great sculptors of all time, they said that they could see the image within. So they were just cutting away to where the image was. And it still kind of blows my mind that somebody could do that. Like Michelangelo could look at this giant block of marble and see David and be able to chip away exactly right. So the whole thing was in proportion. It's a miracle and a mystery to me, just like my relationship with my higher power. And I'm so, so grateful. Thank you, everybody. Have a good day.
Thank you, Carolyn. Carolyn, where are you from, hon? I'm sorry. I'm
New
not
York.
Sure where you were from.
New York.
All right. Thank you so much, Carolyn S. What wonderful, everyone. And speaking of which, I have a wonderful share myself, a wonderful announcement, actually. We have our convention 2025, the Vision for You Power of the Big Book Convention, November 7th through the 9th, 2025. Are you ready? Because we're coming back and we can't wait to see you. It's going to be at the Marriott Newark International Airport Hotel in Newark, New Jersey. Come for training and for learning and for lots of hugs and seeing people face to face. It's going to be awesome and wonderful, and we certainly want you there. So how do you do it? Well, you got to register. So go to our website, www.avisionforyou4you.info. So that's avision4you.info for where we have updates, where you can register, where you see the very exciting countdown, because we are counting it down and it'll be here for you. Please honor and register. We want you. We want to put our hands together, like we've been sharing about in this paragraph, put our hands together, find our higher powers, find recovery, learn a ton, and see each other. But we will move along. Again, on page 100, the first paragraph. Who else would like to share?
Elena C.
That's right.
Elena C.
Jennifer C.
Elena C.
Tina F.
Meg F. Jennifer C. Tina F. And we're going to hold there. I hope we can get everybody in. All right. We may not get Tina. I don't know. We'll have to see. All right, Elena, stop. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, currently in Toronto, Canada. And, you know, I hear in this paragraph, this is what I need to do in order to achieve a new and wonderful life. And what I need to do is day by day, you know, stay in the steps, work with others. And that is spiritual progress. The spiritual progress, it means I have to do what, stay in the steps and work with others and give with no expectations. And if I do that and I persist in doing that, remarkable things will happen. And the thing is, you know, the other sentence in this paragraph, when we look back, we realize that the things which cause us to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. It is so true, and I would have never, ever imagined that God knows what I need better than I do. God knows what I need better than I do. And if I can just remember, you know, when I find myself saying, I need, to just pause and call upon my amazing higher power and surrender to what I think I know, what I think I want, what I think I need to God. And that is a new and wonderful world. And what's new is it's just my ability to look every single day at what gifts God puts in my path every single day. My was not programmed that way. My brain was programmed to look at struggles, to look at problems. This way of life is programming my, reprogramming my brain to look for gifts. And every single day there's something new that I need to see. And this is my work in it. And I am so grateful. I'm here with my daughter. We have a wonderful connection. And that's, I'm able to stay present. My gift to my daughter, build those memories. And she has a recovered mama who is going to make mistakes, you know. And I asked her yesterday, I need freedom to make mistakes, because she's 16 years old, going on 32, and she knows better than her mama. But anyway, I am so grateful for all of you. With that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Alana C. From where, please? Alana, I missed where you from. Oh, making mistakes.
It's Elena from.
All right.
It's Elena from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay, thank you. Craig, you're up, followed by Jennifer C.
Thank you. This is Craig F., recovered in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Wonderful shares today and a beautiful paragraph. I'm reminded of a time when I went to a, it was actually an AA meeting, but they were doing the, it was a meeting on the ninth step promises, and they had kind of a panel of speakers. And the speakers each talked about how those promises had been coming true in their life. And it was a wonderful meeting. And I'm walking out with somebody, it's a friend of mine, program friend. And I said, you know, that was wonderful, but I don't see those things coming true in my life. And they said, well, of course not. And you haven't worked the steps. And, you know, I don't know what I was thinking, that maybe that stuff would come by some form of osmosis, but I was reminded starkly that in order to get what this program promises, I have to do what the program asks. You know, a friend of ours famously says, I'm sorry you didn't get the results for the work you didn't do. But this is a paragraph of promises. It says, this is the result that you're going to get if you do the work that you've been asked to do. And I just need to always remind myself that I can always take these promises as this hopeful, inspirational reading, or I can also use it as an inventory. I can say, is that true in my life? And if so, why not? If those promises, if those things that this book says will happen aren't happening, then what work am I not doing? What have I not surrendered? Where is the fault in my program? Where is the problem, and what do I need to do to fix it? So promises as an inventory is an idea that's been beaten down into me over time, and I never hesitate to share that. But with that, I'm going to pass and give some time to somebody else. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Craig F. from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. So we've got about 2 minutes left. So, Jennifer, you can take us out. Tina, sorry. Go ahead, Jennifer. Please, you have the mic.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service. Thank you for all of these amazing shares today. You are my people. You are absolutely my people. This paragraph reminds me of a few things. Day by day, you and the newbie, right? Day by day. That's all we have, right? Like humility. I'm no better than the new person. I'm no better than the new man. In fact, I am the new man. I've got a few things to share, and I've got to shut up and listen at the very same time. Right? All I have is today. The difference between me and the new man is that, you know, the disease just has different lies for me today. It can't convince me that one more day won't hurt, right? But it can convince me of other things, because I still have the disease of suddenly. The disease of suddenly. Suddenly the thought crosses my mind to say the very thing that I know I shouldn't say. Suddenly the thought crosses my mind to take back my will instead of trust God with all that I have and all that I am today, right? So it keeps me humble. It keeps me very, very humble. And I'm following the dictates because I'm asking first thing in the morning for direction, right? That I'm going to be shown all throughout the day what my next step is to be.
And so I'm trusting that these thoughts and these directions are going to come. And then I'm asking for the willingness that when these thoughts come, I obey. I say yes. I shut my mouth. I turn my attention. I pick up the phone. I do the will of God. I do the will of God because it's thy power, thy love, and thy way of life that sets me free one day at a time. So thank you all for being here. I love you all. And with that, I pass.
Jennifer, you didn't tell us where you're from.
Jennifer C. from South Carolina.
South Carolina. Thank you so much. Okay. Wow, what a everyone who shared. It's Tuesday for your service. Please join us as we can go on another second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the share ID for today, Tuesday, May 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, 22,468. That's 22468. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Craig F., will you please take us out with a vision for you?
I will. And it's Craig, still Craig F. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. You will be with us in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.